This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أهلا شيخنا الحبيب، we are ready when you are إن شاء الله.
I'm ready الحمد لله.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our weekly lesson of Masail Al-Jahiliyyah, delivered by our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. We will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is a weekly class, مسائل الجاهلية. And alhamdulillah, we finished going through the Aqidah of the Sheikh Rahimahullah Ta'ala, the author Muhammad Abdul Wahhab Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And today we will delve into the topic of Jahiliyyah. The meaning of the word Jahiliyyah linguistically, in the language, from the linguistic perspective, in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And as you know, my dear brothers and sisters, the jahl, which is jahiliyyah, is derived from that root, the jahala, as we're going to know. And the jahl is the opposite of the ilm. So the opposite of ilm is jahl. And ilm means to know things as they are, as they exist, a real world. So that is ilm, when you know something as is, as it exists in reality, that is ilm. The opposite is jahl. The ilm, to know something exactly as it is, as it really exists in reality. So your answer reflects the reality. It is exactly what is there in the outside world. If what you say is the opposite, that is called jahl. Okay? These terminologies, you should be able to, you should be known to each one of you. So if I ask you, 1 plus 1, and you say 2, that is ilm, because the answer is correct. But if you say it is 3, the answer is wrong, that is jahl. That is jahl, ignorance. And the jahl, 2 types. Simple ignorance and compound ignorance. Jahl basit and jahl murakkab. Jahl basit, simple ignorance. I ask you, what is the product and the answer of adding 1 plus 1? You tell me, I don't know. That is simple ignorance, jahl basit. So I tell you it is 2. But if you tell me, when I ask you, adding 1 to 1, 1 plus 1 equal, you tell me 4 or 5 or 3, of course it is wrong, so it is jahl. And second thing, you think that you know the answer. And that's another jahl. In other words, you don't know that you don't know. That's why it's called compound. And for me to educate this person, I need to double my effort. The first one, he said, I don't know. I told him 1 plus 1 equals 2. Pretty simple. That's it. But this one, first of all, I have to remove from his mind that 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 3. I have to convince him. So to remove the wrong information, then to provide the correct information, the correct answer. So the opposite of the ilm is the jahl. Now let us go through this root, jahala, in Arabic. Please take notes, my dear brothers and sisters. Ibn Faris, he mentioned, Ibn Faris is one of the etymologists and grammarians. He compiled a lexicon dictionary called Maqayis al-Lugha. Maqayis al-Lugha, the linguistic measures. And tracing the words to their roots, the roots of the words. So he mentioned there in his book, Maqayis al-Lugha, he said, Al-Jimu wal-Ha'u wal-Lam aslan. So Jim and Ha and Lam, Ya-Ha-La, are original letters of the root. أَحَدُهُمَا خِلَافَ الْعِلْمِ. One meaning of jahala is the opposite of ilm. And this is what we mentioned just a few seconds ago. So the opposite of the ilm is jahal. أَحَدُهُمَا خِلَافَ الْعِلْمِ. The other meaning, والآخر, الْخِفَّةِ. الْخِفَّةِ وَخِلَافَ الطُّمَأْنِينَ. Which means khiffa literally means some lightness, something light. But here, those who have little minds, people who have they are simple-minded people, naive. They can be easily fooled. Or those who are foolish and they act unwisely. So this is another meaning of the root jahala. That's why you call a child jahil. Because his mental faculties, they are not ripe yet, not perfected yet. Ibn Manzur mentioned, Ibn Manzur is also another scientist who's a specialist in linguistics. And he compiled a famous dictionary lexicon called Lisan al-Arab, the tongue of the Arabs. It's a massive, these are huge dictionaries. Lisan al-Arab, Taj al-Arus, by the Zabidi. So في لسان العربي من منظور he said, الجهل نقيض العلم. So ignorance is the antonym of knowing, or the ilm, the antonym of knowledge or knowing. وقد جهله فلان جهلا وجهالة. You say جهلا, that means he is ignorant about this particular matter. Yahilahu fulanun jahlan. And so the jahlan is the masdar, the verb and noun, as you say, daraba yadribu darban. So jahala yajhalu jahlan, the infinitive, the verb and noun, the masdar. So you can say jahala yajhalu jahlan, jahala yajhalu jahalatan. So there are two ways, two masdar. You can have jahlan and jahala. And the reason I am going through this, my dear brothers and sisters, if you know these things, then you will know how these words are used in the Quran and the Hadith. That's why I have been begging you, crying to you, appealing to you for now, long time, learn Arabic. Because the relationship between the Quranic text, between the Quran and the Arabic language is very, very strong relation. Because the Arabic language is the key to understand the Quran. So if our knowledge is so shallow about Arabic, then our understanding will be also shallow, no doubt. Most of the issues that then, if you study fiqh between fuqaha, they go back to the linguistics issues. The same thing in usul al-fiqh. That's why Imam Shatibi, he said, your mastery of Arabic is directly proportional to your understanding. The more you understand the Arabic tongue, the more mastery you will have over the rest of the ulum and the sciences of the Sharia. So here you can say jahala yajhalu jahlan wa jahala yajhalu jahalatan as masdar, as infinitive or verb and noun. وجهل عليه جهل عليه, that means you talked about someone ignorantly. Out of ignorance, you behaved foolishly towards someone. That's what uncle, that's what Ibn Manzur mentioned in Lisan al-Arab. وَتَجَاهَلَ تَجَاهَلَ أَظْهَرَ الْجَهَلِ. تَجَاهَلَ, you pretend that you are ignorant. تَجَاهَلَ, Because this form, تفاعل, تجاهل, تغابى, okay, you pretend. So تجاهل أظهر الجهل. He pretends that he is ignorant when he is not. When he is not ignorant. تجاهل. But sometimes you pretend you don't know. And this is very helpful in some situations that you just ignore. You pretend that you don't know. You don't know. Okay. وتجاهل أظهر الجهل. قال الجوهري تجاهل أرى من نفسه الجهل. He shows that he is ignorant when he is not. وليس به. He is not ignorant. تجاهل. So this is in the active form. You pretend that you are ignorant when you are not. تجاهل أرى من نفسه الجهل وليس به. واستجهله. This is another form. استجهله. That means you consider him ignorant. When you consider someone ignorant, تستجهله. استجهله, he considered him or her ignorant. واستجهله, عده جاهلا, counted him as ignorant. واستخفه أيضا, he treated him lightly and he didn't pay attention to him and considered him that he is nothing. Okay, استجهله. So now you should know by now few words and few usages of the word the root jahala. Wal jahala, this is another usage and use of the word jahala. Wal jahala. أن تفعل فعلا بغير علم جهالة. You see, جهالة is going to be mentioned in the coming ayat. جهالة. Those who commit sins out of جهالة. والجهالة أن تفعل فعلا بغير علم. You do an action without knowledge. ورجل جاهل. رجل جاهل, a man who is ignorant. جاهل, he is جاهل, he is ignorant. He doesn't know. رجل جاهل. والجمع, the plural form of جاهل, جهل, أو جهل, أو جهل, أو جهال, وجهلاء. These are different ways where you can form the plural of the word jahil. ورجل جهول, the same thing, like jahil, he's jahul. And finally, والمجهلة, المجهلة, ما يحملك على الجهل. Don't worry, my dear brothers and sisters, if you are not catching up everything. You can listen to the talk again, and that's why you need to take notes. Well, majhala too. Majhala. Ma yahmiluka ala al-jahl is what makes you jahl. This is called majhala. So these are the different ways the root jahala is used. Now we will go to the Quran. I told you the language, and because the Quran came down in the Arabic tongue. So the root jahala is used in the Quran in different ways, different forms. As we are going to know, inshallah. One of these forms, تجهلون. تجهلون. ويجهلون. These two forms used in the Quran as a verb, as a فعل. تجهلون, يجهلون. Allah says in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 111. So you should know now that the root jahala means lack of knowledge, you don't know. Or a person who is not matured enough. So Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ The meaning, even if we had sent them the angels, made the dead to speak to them, made the dead speak to them, and assembled before their own eyes every sign they demanded, they still would not have believed, unless Allah so willed. But most of them are ignorant of this. Ignorant, you see? أكثرهم يجهلون. أكثرهم يجهلون. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة. If we send down, had we sent down the angels and the dead spoke to them, وكلمهم الموتى. سبحان الله. وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ and gathered before their own eyes every sign they demanded. مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا They still would not have believed. إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Unless Allah willed so. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ Most of them are ignorant of this. They don't know. They don't know. And they see the signs and they don't believe. So the Quran used these two forms, tajhalun, yajhalun. Also, the Quran used jahilun, the plural of the plural form of jahil, jahilun. قل أفغير الله تأمروني أعبد أيها الجاهلون. Say, O Prophet. Are you urging me to worship anyone other than Allah? Oh, ignorant ones, ayyuhal jahilun, those who do not know, those who do not use the gift that we're giving, they don't use their minds. Qul. How come it is irrational? Any person who has a common sense, when he sees the signs, will believe. And he will never ask someone to worship other than Allah. So if you ask someone to worship other than Allah, then indeed you are jahil. You are jahil. قل أفغير الله تأمرون How come you dare to ask me to worship other than Allah? Are you urging me to worship anyone other than Allah? Oh, ignorant ones. Ayyuhal jahilun. Such a request will not come from a person who has knowledge, a person who has common sense, a person who has a mind to think with. So the Quran here used the word jahilun, which is the jam' and the plural form of jahil. Also the Quran used the word jahul, because jahil is what we call ism fa'il, the name of the subject, okay, the doer. Daris is the one who studies. Alim, the one who knows. Qari, the one who reads. Okay, so this is fa'il. Jahul, when you find the word jahul, which is, if you put it on the grammatical scale, it is fa'ul. This is, we call it sighat mubalagha. Sighat mubalagha, intensive form. This is an intensive form. You use this expression to express exaggeration. Someone who eats a lot, we say akul, akul. He's voracious eater. He eats. So jahul, fa'ul. This is in sighat mubalagha, in tons of form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 72. The previous ayah is the Zumar 64, those who are taking notes. So here in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word jahul. So Allah says, إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. Not جاهل, جهول. See, intensive form, جهول. He's not a normal ignorant, no. He is excessively ignorant. Excessively ignorant. See the beauty of Arabic? That's why he used this sighat mubalagha. Because he went to great excess. He went to the extreme. He went deeply into jahl, into the ocean of ignorance. He's totally immersed in the darkness of ignorance. Jahul. Not a normal jahil. No. He is absolutely ignorant. So that's why the word jahul is used. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, indeed, we offered the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they all declined to bear it, being fearful of it. But humanity, mankind, assumed it. Fearful. For they are truly wrongful to themselves and ignorant of the consequences. Subhana Rabbil Azim. Let us reflect here, my dear brothers and sisters. Allah is saying that He offered the amana. Indeed, certainly, most certainly, verily, we offered the amana. What is the amana here? The amana here is the choice to carry out the obligations and to have free will and to be held accountable. So Allah asked the mountains and the heavens, do you want to have free will? And then you will be called for accountability. And there are obligations and duties you have to fulfill and you have to shoulder and carry out. He said, no, our Lord. We are satisfied. We are happy like this. We don't want to have free will. So this is the amana. إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ. So Allah is saying we offered the amana, the trust, the option of giving and having the free will and then to be held accountable for failing not doing, fulfilling the obligations and carrying out your duties. So when Allah offered this to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they all declined to bear it. Said, our Lord, we cannot bear it. The abayna. Here. So they are not rejecting Allah's command. No, Allah offered them and gave them the option. So they chose not to have the free will and to be held accountable later on. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِنْهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا. So they said, we cannot bear it. And they were being fearful of it because they knew the consequences. But who came and flexed his muscles? Man. The man said, yes, I can take the amana. It is the human being. And this is the nature of the human being. The nature of the human being, he has two main qualities. Ignorance and arrogance. Ignorance and arrogance. He thinks he knows when he doesn't. And because of this ignorance, see what is happening and see what is going on. And see what man did to himself. He has invented weapons to wipe the whole humanity by just pressing one button. No human beings. Finish. No life. So he invented the weapon that will wipe him out and finish him. See what the man did to the environment. He polluted it, corrupted it. So this is the nature of the human being. So Allah said, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But mankind, humanity, said, they carried it. They said, we are going to bear it. We are ready for it. Assumed it. Then Allah said, okay, It is your choice, but then Allah described and mentioned. He said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا مِسْكِينًا. Man is miskeen. Mankind is wrongful, ظَلُوم. ظَلُوم. Not ظَالِم, ظَلُوم. He wrongs himself times after times after times. This is a fact. Every day we wrong ourselves. Every day we commit dhulm towards our own selves. We are harming ourselves. We wrong ourselves by committing haram, by committing sins. We are harming ourselves. We don't harm any. We harm ourselves in the first place. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا. This is an inherent characteristic of man. ظَلُوم. Unjust. To himself. Wrongful. To himself. They are truly the children of Adam are truly wrongful to themselves. Zaluman. On top of that, Yahula. They are truly wrongful to themselves and ignorant the consequences. Of the consequences, what will happen? What will happen? What will come? If we look around ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, every day we discover our ignorance. Every day. In every discipline, field of knowledge, all type, different disciplines, people are discovering. They discover mistakes and blunders they made. In the field of science, in the field of medicine, and name it. Oh, that theory was wrong. That medicine was harmful. Subhanallah. How many medicines have you seen in your life and they do not exist anymore? They have taken them away from the market. Why? After they had caused a lot of damage to the people. They discovered that this medicine causes more harm than remedy and cure. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. So this is another form used in the Quran, the form of جَهُول, which is the صِغَةُ المبالغة, the intensive form of جَهَل. Also, remember there in the beginning when we say the word جَهَالَة, okay, the جَهَالَة. So here also the word jahala, and that is to do something without ilm, without knowledge. The word jahala is used in the Quran. So Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 17, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ جهالة. ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما. Allah only accepts the repentance of those who commit evil ignorantly, بجهالة, or recklessly. Then repent soon after. Allah will pardon them, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Let us reflect here. So Allah is saying, innama tawbatu. Remember, innama, kafa and makfufa. Remember that ma here cancels the function of inna, because in the absence of ma, it should be read inna tawbata. But why we say innama tawbatu? Inna didn't work. What cancelled the function of inna? Ma. Okay. That's why it's called kafa and makfufa. This inna ma kafat amala inna, stopped the function of inna. So inna becomes here not functional. But here there is, it gives another dimension of meaning, which is al-hasr, limitation. It limits the meaning, okay, to those, like here Allah limited the tawbah, like in the hadith, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Limited, all our deeds will be judged according to the intention. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat or bin-niyyat. So here, innama tawbah. So the tawbah has been limited and ascribed and attributed only to those who do the commit sins out of ignorance. Innama tawbatu ala Allahi. Allah only. You see, that's why the word only came in the translation, because of this function of innama. It limited the meaning. Innama tawbatu, Allah only accept the repentance of those who commit evil ignorantly or recklessly, then repent soon after. Innama tawbatu ala Allahi. So the tawbah that Allah is going to grant, Allah is going to give, is only for those ya'maluna su, who commit sins bi jahala. And anyone who commits a sin, he's a jahil. At that moment, when you commit the sin. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. The thief, when he commits the thief, is not a mu'min at that moment. The iman is removed. When he commits zina, he's not a mu'min. The zina is removed. The iman is removed. And when he finishes, the iman comes back. So at that moment, no ilm. What dominates you at that moment? The jahl. You only think about how to satisfy the pleasure of the flesh, your desire. That's it. You don't think about anything. Your iman left you. And now the shahwa, the desire, controls you. And you are under the spell of the desire. You're under the spell of the shaitan. When you finish sinning, you are blind now. You start seeing, you started to see things, and you start to hate yourself and eat yourself, and the guilt eats you, and you regret, and all that stuff, and that horrible feeling. So when a person commits a sin, he is ignorant. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثم يتوبون من قريب. الله أكبر. ثم يتوبون من قريب. Immediately after finishing and committing this sin, they repent immediately. ثم يتوبون من قريب. After committing the haram and doing the haram, he hates himself, she hates herself. Say, my Lord, forgive me. I am sorry. Help me to get rid of this disease. And you have this remorse, nadam, remorse. That's why the Prophet said, and nadamu tawba, that remorse in itself is repentance. That feeling, that pinch of and pain of the guilt. Because this is what comes after doing haram. That horrible feeling, that pain, that sense of uncomfort. You don't feel comfortable. Discomfort. Because this is the evil fruit of the sin. That's why the ulama said, At-ta'atu. تسبق مرارتها وتغيب حلاوتها والمعصية تسبق حلاوتها وتغيب مرارتها. الطاعة, obedience, an act of obedience. When you want to do an act of obedience, something good, to pray, what comes? Laziness, bitterness, marara, to leave your bed, to take wudu. So the bitterness comes, and the sweetness is delayed and postponed. The sweetness you will taste after doing that act of obedience. That's what you feel after the salah. Alhamdulillah, I prayed. Before giving out sadaqah, no, you don't want to open your wallet. You don't want to put your hand in your pocket. And the shaitan tells you your children are in need. No need to give him. But if you manage and overcome that feeling and you give, you feel good, you feel happy. The sweetness now comes. You taste it. So always, bitterness will come first when you want to do something good. But the shaitan wants to stop you from doing that. And the sweetness will follow. The delightfulness will follow. The happiness will come after. For example, in Taraweeh, you are praying behind an imam and he's reading one juzu of the Quran. And he prolonged the ruku and the sujood. And you feel tired. But what do you feel after the salah? Oh, alhamdulillah, feel good as you pray Taraweeh. When you lower your gaze, your nafs is, shaitan is telling you, have a look, have a look. And you are resisting. If you manage not to do and to look at the haram, you get that sense and feeling of victory. Yes, I defeated my nafs. I defeated it. You feel good, you feel happy. And Allah fills your heart with that serenity. That serenity, that happiness. So the sweetness, the bitterness precedes the doing of a righteous deeds, and the sweetness comes after. The sin, the opposite. The sweetness comes. Shaitan beautified the sin. Oh, you are a young man. Go and enjoy your life. You are a young woman. Later on you repent. Later on you make hajj, and you will, all your sins will be washed away. Have fun. Enjoy your life. This is what the shaitan does. So he beautifies for you sins. And you enjoy going and chatting and feel good, happy. After that, when you are by yourself, the guilt starts. Why did I do that? You blame yourself. So regarding sins, the sweetness comes first. And then bitterness will be there with you forever. Forever. Yes. Every time you remember that sin, you say, oh Allah, forgive me. You feel, you taste it, the bitterness in your throat, what you used to do. Now you are almost on the verge of the grave. You are dying, going to die. Okay? And when you scan and browse and go through the tape of your life and the events, and you see all these things, that horrible things you did. And now you are going to meet Allah. And you are in that state of fear. The only thing you have is good hope of Allah. To have good thought about Allah. And to keep asking Allah, forgive me, my Lord. Forgive me what I did. I wronged myself, my Lord. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Immediately. If you commit a sin, repent immediately. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. If you do something wrong, do something good immediately after that. So it will wipe it away. So those who repent immediately when they commit a sin and repent quickly after committing such shameful deeds, فَأُولَيْكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Okay, those Allah will forgive them. Allah will pardon them. يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah will encompass them in His mercy. And Allah will forgive them. But if you insist, you don't want to repent, because what will happen, the first time you committed that sin, you felt that guilt, and you felt bad. Then you did it again, and again, and again. Then that feeling, you will not have it. You will just have enjoyment. You feel good about it. Because that is one of the tricks of the shaitan. He will be pulling your leg so that you will die without making tawbah. You will die while committing sins. And you fall of Allah's eye and Allah neglects you and ignores you. And you think Allah is happy with you because of your ignorance, because you are jahul. But if someone commits a sin and repents and felt bad about himself and regrets, Allah will grant him tawbah. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those who repent immediately. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is all-knowing. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our deficiencies. He knows our drawbacks. And He's all-wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why He gives us chance after chance after chance. And when we say we are sorry, He accepts us. When we raise our hands, He accepts us. When we turn to Him, He accepts us. Because He's all-wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us. He knows that we are weak. And He knows that we are jahil. He knows that. So here Allah used the word jahala. Those who commit sins and evil ignorantly. And they are in a state of ignorance. So the root, the jahl, you should know now that it is the opposite of the ilm, the opposite of knowing. And the remedy for the jahl is the ilm. How we can rid ourselves and liberate ourselves from this ignorance, whether it is simple ignorance or compound ignorance, jahl basit, jahl murakkab, how we can get rid of that? By the ilm, by learning, by studying our deen. And if Allah loves you, He blesses you and gives you the knowledge and the fiqh. Man yuridillahu bihi khayra yufaqihu fi al-deen. Whomever Allah wishes him some good, khayr, He grants him, he or she, fiqh, understanding of his deen. Gives him and her the ilm. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed for his cousin Ibn Abbas. What did he pray for him? Did he ask Allah to give him wealth? No. He said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa'allimhu ta'wil. This is the supplication he made for his cousin. For Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Oh Allah, faqihhu fi al-deen. Make him understand the deen. Make him a faqih. Make him a scholar of the deen. Wa'allimhu al-ta'wil, and teach him the ta'wil, the tafsir of the Quran. Waqul Rabbi zidni ilma. That is what the Quran teaches us. Oh Allah, increase me in ilm. Because when your knowledge increases, you are getting rid of your jahl. So you worship Allah upon basira, understanding, with clarity. Okay. The Salaf, they said, من فسد من علمائنا, then he is like the learned men among the Jews. Because Allah described them as maghdub alayhim. They brought upon themselves Allah's wrath and anger. So if there are some of our scholars commit sins and not apply and follow what they learned, then they are like the learned men from among Bani Israel. وَمَنْ فَسَدَ مِنْ عُبَّادِنَا, our ubad, those who worship Allah and they are worshippers, but out of ignorance, no ilm. So they fall into the bid'ah. They fall into sins. They fall into innovations. Then they are similar like the Christians. They are like the Christians. So the ilm is very important. It is the cure for the jahl. Cure of the jahl. You know the story of Juraij al-Rahib, the hermit, the worshipper, one of Bani Israel, okay, saint. His mother visited him, wanted to see him, and she called him many times, and he was praying. And he said, my prayer over my mother. And he continued. And you know the story that his mother, out of anger, she said, oh my Lord, Allahumma la tumithu hatta turihi wujuhal mumisat. Don't take his soul before you make him look at the faces of the prostitutes. And subhanAllah, Allah accepted her dua. A woman was a prostitute, accused him that he made her pregnant because she gave birth to a child, and they asked her, she said, the father is this saint, this hermit who was there in his synagogue, in his bay'ah. Where he was worshiping Allah. And they pulled him. So when he saw the child, he smiled because he remembered what his mother said. And he put his finger in the belly button of the child and asked the child, who's your father? And the child, the baby spoke, said, my father is the shepherd. This is one of the children who spoke when they were in the cradle. So Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah commented that he said, Juraij wa kana abidan wa lam yakun aliman. He was a worshipper only. He was not a scholar. Okay. Had he been a learned man, he would have stopped her. He should have stopped his prayer and should have answered his mother. So the remedy for the jahl is the ilm, my dear brothers and sisters. And I conclude with what Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, and he said the shaitan, he accesses and approaches our hearts through two ways, the way of the shubuhat and the way of the shahawat. Either through the desires. So you fall into that trap, and the remedy for combating and overcoming the desires is the taqwa and the fear of Allah, and this taqwa will come only if you have ilm. and the cure and the remedy for the shubuhat, doubts, is the ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge in the deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet him and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah unite our ummah on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah unite our hearts on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah elevate your status, my dear brothers and sisters, in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Salim. We'll start the question and answers time now. Brothers and sisters, please raise your hands and send in your questions as fast as possible. Please try to ask your questions on the mic itself. This is our preferred method. We will start with some questions already received.
If you don't mind, I think the last time a question came about the name of the book I mentioned talks about the Firaq. And it is by the Sheikh, Dr. Nasir bin Abdul Karim Al-Aql. Okay, this is a book. It is actually many parts. And it is a beautiful book, talks about the deviant sects in Islam. So it's Dr. Nasir bin Abdul Karim Al-Aql, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Yes, now we can start the question.
Allah. Okay, we go with the next question or the question that we've received now. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah reward you, Sheikh. What is the ruling of using pig's organ for organ transplant?
Using what?
A pig's organ. For organ transplant.
You see, these issues, scientific issues, medical issues, which will emerge from time to time, they need what the ulama say, ijtihad jama'i, collective ijtihad by the scholars. And there are, alhamdulillah, nowadays, many assemblies of scholars in Rabitat al-Alim in Mecca, in Egypt, in Morocco or Tunisia or something. There are different bodies where the Muslim scholars, they meet, and the specialists and the doctors, and they discuss these issues. They discuss these issues. And the first of all, the doctors will talk and present the case, and the ulama will ask them for more information and ask for clarifications until the issue, the matter, the mas'ala becomes clear. Then the fatwa will be issued collectively. So, If I recall, something like this is mentioned, either using the arteries or veins and of the pigs and implant them in the human bodies. So the fatwa was, if there are no side effects and they are proving that they are actually helpful and they can save the life of the human being, and then there's no harm. And this falls under necessity dictates exception. So regarding the heart transplant of the pig into the human being, I heard recently they managed to do that, I think in America. But this, we have to wait for the collective fatwa of the scholars, of the ulama. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question.
But the heart of a human being, that's okay. If someone donated, for example, he mentioned, and this is also a controversial issue, to be honest. Can someone donate his organ after his death? There are two opinions, to be honest with you, among the scholars, Muslim scholars. One says no, because you don't own this body. And they quoted also the hadith, kasr adm al mayyit ka kasr hayy, breaking the bone of the dead person like breaking the bone when he's alive. The other opinion said no, since we can, human life can be saved, and this organ is going to decay anyhow. Okay, but this organ should be removed from the body after the death of the person, when the person really died and the soul came out. Not that he is alive and his heart is removed, because the doctor announced that clinically he is dead. But in Islam, the definition of death is when the soul comes out. So if the organ is removed after he died, according to the other opinion, then that heart can be used, and Allah knows best. Yes, next.
Next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. When myself and my husband are praying in Jama'ah, can I give the adhan and iqama while he is the imam?
The adhan and iqama not for women. Not for women in the presence of men, no. But if they are by themselves, Aisha used to make the iqama for the women. Okay. But now he is there, he should make the adhan and the iqama. Next.
The next question, Sheikh. Understanding Islamic fiqh and Islamic aqidah, which one is more important, fiqh or aqidah?
Both of them are important. The aqidah, you have to understand the things that are essential for you, knowing the pillars of Islam, the pillars of Iman, and the Tawheed and the Shirk, the essential things. The same thing about the fiqh. I'm talking here for the layman. And the fiqh, what is needed for you to worship Allah correctly, the rulings of the salah, what will affect your salah, the ahkam of the salah, the wudu, the ahkam of the zakah, the ahkam of the hajj, etc. Now, if you are a student of knowledge, so these are prerequisites for every Muslim. If you are a student of knowledge, here you have to see what you like, what you love. It's very important. What is your favorite subject? Is it the fiqh? Is it the aqidah, theology? Is it the Quran and the tafsir? Is it usul al-fiqh? You see yourself. And once you discover what you have more affinity and inclination towards, then go in that way. And then specialize and become a specialist in that field. In aqidah, you become a theologian, a mufassir, a faqih. See what you like. See what you like, and then you study it in great depth. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. A sister is asking how to deal with a lazy husband who does not want to look for a job and work. He only stays at home, and she is now taking the responsibilities at home. She gives an amount of money at every end of the month, and it's her who pays the school fees for their children. The husband has consumed people's debts, and now it's her who pays the debts from her salary, but she loves him.
Oh, okay. Love is blind, as they say. Okay, so she loves him. You cannot say anything. So he is, you are the bread gainer. You are the one who brings the bread to the table. He's pampered. You are spoiling him. But I love him. So why should he bother? When there's someone he toils and works hard, who can clear his debts, takes care of children, pays the expenses of the house. Okay, so he's sitting, crossing his legs and enjoying it. Shame on him, of course. Okay. This is not the role of the man. Allah made the men qawwamun, has given him that responsibility and degree because they pay. But now it is the woman who's paying, not you. So he has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is accountable before Allah because it is his duty. It is haram for him to take one single penny from the income of his wife without her consent. You are not allowed. Even if your wife is a millionaire or billionaire, still the nafaqah, the maintenance on the husband, not on the woman. The wife of Ibn Mas'ud was well off and he was poor. And he told her, you can give the zakah to me and your reward will be more. Or she offered to give him the zakah. He asked her to ask the Prophet about it. He told her, ask the Prophet, is it okay? And she went, Zainab, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, and asked Bilal to ask the Prophet. And there was another woman, her name was Zainab also. So Bilal went inside and told the Prophet, said, Zainab is asking, said, which Zainab? Because she told him, don't mention my name, don't tell him. Okay, tell him just a woman. So, but the Prophet asked, so Bilal cannot lie and hide, said Zainab, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud. So he told him, tell her, she will be rewarded twice. So her ajr will be doubled. Okay. Because he's her husband, and he's very close to her, and he's in need. But you have no right, like this man in the question, to take the income of the woman. That is her money. It is your duty. The Prophet ﷺ, when the woman asked for his opinion to choose for her, one of the three companions, Muawiyah, Abu Jahm, and Usama, he told her, Muawiyah is very poor, doesn't have money, don't marry him. So if a person is poor, broke, he's disqualified. He's disqualified. He should not come and ask and knock on the doors of people and ask the hands of their daughters. First of all, prove that you are a man. You are going to look after my daughter. So he told her, don't marry Muawiyah. And Abu Jahl don't marry him because he beats the woman. Marry Usama. Having said this, if you are happy and you don't mind doing all these things because you said you love him, so that means you don't mind sacrificing, you don't mind spending on him and the children and taking the children. So this is now your choice. It's up to you. This is your life. If you're happy, alhamdulillah. If you're not happy and you want to change the situation, talk to him. Tell him, enough is enough. I have helped you a lot, but I cannot continue. You either work and look for a job, or you know, what will happen? It's up to you. May Allah guide him. But you are, in my opinion, you are the one who is spoiling him, pampering him like a child. Is this clear to the question? Questioner.
Inshallah, that is very clear, Sheikh. If not, the questioner can always message back. The next question, Sheikh. Is the dua of guidance always accepted, or can it be delayed, or the reward is reserved for the akhirah?
We should not bother about the response. We know that Allah, if, of course, the dua, there are conditions. If you are eating haram and you're making dua, Allah will not accept. So first of all, let us understand the etiquette and the manners of making the dua, leaving the haram. If you took people's money, give it back. The sincere tawbah. Not that you are doing haram stuff and then you say, oh Allah, do the help me. You are eating haram, clothed haram. But if you are eating halal and trying your best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just keep making the dua. If you get the response in the dunya, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays it for you there in the akhirah, and your status will be elevated in Jannat al-Na'im, inshallah. Is this clear to the question?
Inshallah, Sheikh. We have now Amin. Please ask your question.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu fiqh for your lesson. My question is, if you can please clarify again for me why the taubatu was marfu in innama taubatu and not innama taubata. I didn't understand this part. And my second question is, it means that the word jahil is if you are unintentionally and intentionally ignorant, or you are sinning intentionally or unintentionally, in or both of the these ways, are you jahil? Or if you understand me, what I mean, yeah, barakallah. Yeah.
Thank you, barakallah. It sounds that you are studying Arabic and grammar. You know inna and its sisters.
Yes.
Responsible mubtada wa tarfa al khabar, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So in the absence of innama, the ma, it will be inna tawbata, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. But here, because ma is joined and connected to inna, it cancelled the function of inna, as if inna is not there.
So now is not ism in ism kana or?
No. A tawba to here is a mubtada now.
Oh.
That's why it is marfu'.
Okay. Because
that's why innama here as if it is not there. That's why they call it kafa and makfufa.
Okay.
That means the function of inna has been cancelled. So as if it is not there. Kafar innama and read at-tawbatu mubtada.
So how we translate then innama here? Is a part of continuity or not?
No, here innama, they say here innama came as they, in the Arab, they Arab it, in the parsing and the grammatical analysis, they say kafa and makfufa, that's how they make it. Okay, so the function of inna has been neglected and cancelled, it's not there. And then you continue the Arab of a tawbatu.
Okay.
So always you'll find this. When you see ma comes after inna, it will cancel the function of inna. Like in the hadith, innama al-a'malu. You see, al-a'malu, as if it is not there. Are you following?
Yes, but I still don't understand why then the innama is here. What's the function of innama here?
No. Here, the choosing innama for another reason, for another purpose, okay, which is for the balagha, because here to feed innama, to feed al-hasr, so to confine the meaning, to limit the meaning of a tawbah to such group, that's why the innama came here, to give that function, the limitation, confining the meaning. Are you following?
Yes.
So it is used here for a rhetorical reason, not for a grammatical reason.
Okay.
So the function here is balaghi, for the balagha. Are you following? Yeah.
I am following, but because I'm doing Ajrumiya now, so if I do Arab, so innama, what will be innama here? How is called?
That's what you mean, that when you want to make Arab?
Yes.
That's the Arab, this is how the grammarians say. Innama, inna, here they say, harfu nasr, laghi.
Okay, so harfu nasr.
So
okay.
The ma cancels the function of it. And that's why they say innama, in many grammatical books you'll come across kafa and makfufa. This is what they mention, kafa and makfufa.
Okay. Barakallahu.
Fika barak. Regarding whoever commits a sin, he's jahal, bijahala, whether he knows or not. Yes, he's bijahala. At that moment, he's jahal.
If he is aware of his sin or unaware of his sin?
Yes, at that moment he is jahil. Because remember, at that moment, this is not working. He is under the effect of the shahwa. And the iman is not there. That's why there is how is your Arabic, okay?
I'm learning.
Okay, there is a book, beautiful book on the net by Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Hasanatu Was-Sayyi'ah. Read it. He addressed this issue, Al-Hasana Was-Sayyi'ah, the good deed and the misdeed. It's a beautiful book.
Inshallah.
Barakallahu
fiik.
Let us go to the next question. A woman delivered a premature baby. The baby is still in the hospital. Should there be an aqiqah and sacrificing?
The answer is yes. After 7 days, the child is alive, you make the aqiqah. He's alive, the child is alive, so you make the aqiqah.
Next question. Making dua during or after
iqama but if the child is born dead, no aqiqah. Because he died before the 7 days. Next.
Making dua during or after iqama, is it permissible?
Dua after?
making dua during or after the iqama, is it permissible?
The dua is between the two adhans. These are the times that the dua will be accepted between adhan and the two adhans means the first adhan and the iqama. The dua, this is the time where the dua is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after the iqama and the after qad qamat as-salah, the iqama and the salah, you are asking? The question is asking after the iqama? Or during, between the iqama and the adhan?
No, that's a during and after.
During the iqama?
Yes, Sheikh, during the iqama. After the iqama. During the iqama.
Okay, I'm trying to understand. During the iqama and after the iqama, this is nothing there in the sunnah mentioned as far as I know. What I know is between the two adhans, between that means between the iqama and the adhan, that duration, yes, we make dua. But after the iqama, you just get up for the salah and you start praying. Okay? Is this clear?
Inshallah, it's clear, Sheikh. Next question. Majority of the scholars say command or prohibitions in adab are mustahab or makruh. How correct is usul? Because others say that it's mutlaq.
This is a known rule. They say in the adab, okay. It is for the it is recommended or makruh and it's not haram, but this needs not to be taken. Across the board and without limiting it with certain conditions. For example, how about eating with the left hand? That is adab. Is eating with the left hand makruh and not haram? The Prophet ﷺ, he prayed against the person who was eating with his left hand and his hand was paralyzed. So if it was not a sin, he wouldn't have invoked Allah to paralyze the hand of the man. Yes, the man was arrogant, was mutakabbir. The Prophet ﷺ, he explained, he said, "Ma manahu illa al-kibr," which means not eating. He was able to eat with his right hand. So there was no reason for him to eat with the left hand. No excuse. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, "La astati," he said, "La astati." May you will never be able to use it. And his hand was paralyzed. That also drinking. He said the shaitan eats with his left hand and drinks with his left hand. And he said also in the authentic hadith, if someone drinks while standing, should vomit and throw out what he did. These all narrations, they refute this qaida that everything, as long as it is related to the adab, it is only mustahab and makruh. So if it is mustahab and makruh, why should I thrust my fingers into my throat and drink out what I drank? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the man who drank standing, "Do you like the cat to drink with you?" He said, "No." He said, "Indeed, the one who drank with you is worse than the cat, the shaitan." So not all the rules, and many of the fuqaha mentioned are جامع مانع, inclusive. Okay, that means they are applied throughout. Now, there are certain cases of the adab which is, they are obligatory. They are obligatory. One has to make them, otherwise you will be sinful. And Allah knows best. And here, when you claim ijma, there's no ijma. How come? Who said there is consensus about this? No consensus. And if you say the jumhur, these scholars, the four imams said this, this doesn't make it a consensus or ijma for the ummah. Because the imams of the ummah and scholars of the ummah more than the four imams. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it's clear, Sheikh. We got the next question now. Hopefully we can try to understand it. Was the animals created Allah before the human being created?
The animals?
Okay. Was the animals created before the human being by Allah?
I don't know. If anyone knows something in the Quran and Sunnah, let him mention it. What we know that Allah created the jinn before the human beings. And then Allah created the Adam alayhi salam, and he sent them him down to earth. And he prepared the earth for him. Okay. So maybe someone maybe conclude only, which is just a rational deduction, that when he came to the earth, everything is there for him, food, animals, etc. But this doesn't mean that they were created before him. They were there when he came, for example. But where is it mentioned that Allah created them before he created Adam? So here we need, because this is ghaib, so we need to have an explicit proof and evidence. So if anyone has explicit evidence, either in the Quran or the Sunnah, produce it. Is this clear to the questioner?
Hopefully it is clear, inshallah. Sheikh, that was our final question for tonight. If you'd like to conclude, Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah feekum, Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect your family. May Allah elevate your status in the dunya and in Jannat al-Na'im, ameen. And may Allah increase our knowledge and your knowledge, and may Allah bless us with the ability to do righteous deeds, and may Allah accept them. May Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.